Turn to Book of Matthew, chapter 6, reading verses from 24 onwards. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? 27. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his lifespan? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast unto the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. In the Sermon on the Mount, we saw yesterday the portion about the singleness of I, where our focus should be on the things of the Lord. And the Lord who has already fixed our hearts and the evil spirit, which was dead in sins and trespasses, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And now our quickened inner spirit is able to have the communication with the Holy Spirit of God, and whereby we will be able to comprehend the things which he has kept for us in store from the beginning in heavenly places. And as further explained in by other apostles, either inheritance or a tabernacle, citizenship or calling, kingdom, everything pertains to the heavens as far as the believers are concerned. But now, as we see here in this chapter, the thought further progresses, and a singleness of I, which is undivided, integrated heart, when our heart is connected to the things of the coming world and what God has kept for us, and the way our the bodies or the soulical life may continue to make us anxious for the things of this life. And those things are explained in the portion which we read together. In verse 24, no man can serve two masters, for neither he will hate the one or love the another, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. So the mammon, the word here, it is a Syriac word, and which speaks of the god of this world, or as we see in other places, though it is not the exact word used by God referring to the Satan, prince of this world, or as Paul used, god of this world, and John in 1 John chapter 5, and the whole world, we know that the whole world lieth in the evil one or the wicked one, and that is also the same referring to the same mammon. Mammon is god of riches. So it is by giving us or making us to look into those things, or making our heart attached to the things of the riches of this world, or luxuries, or where our heart enjoys those things. And what he wants to do is, God of this world, by making us to divert our attention from the things of heavenlies to the things of the earth, and whereby he wants us to worship him. And those who unknowingly or unconsciously get into the trap of that, and the hearts are hooked onto those things, and then his job is done. As long as many as believers do not have the attention seeking the things which are above, then his days are in good stead. That means the number of people to replace him and his angels, as long as that number is getting delayed in preparation, then he has that much time left to be thrown out from those heavenly places. So that is why those who are believers, and he continues to put snares whereby the believers will be diverted their attention and seeking the things of the earth, and he will be very happy to do so. So book of Matthew chapter 4 verse 8. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So the interest, why he will continue to attract us is so that through the riches of this world or the snares of this world, we may come and serve his interest than the interest of our Redeemer. And our Lord, one of the methods he used to tempt our Lord after his baptism was showing the things of this world and asking him to serve him and worship him. But the Lord said, thou shalt worship only thy true God. It is the same method. Serving the mammon is the riches of this world, or God of this age, or the attractions of this world, whereby, so it is an indirect way of attracting him to him, attracting us to him, so that we may worship him. So it may not be as we render our worship unto the Lord every day, every time we come unto him. So that may not be the case, but very subtly, if our heart is serving and only our hearts are attached to, affectionately to the things of the earth, then we are in a way friendship with the world and serving his interest. Book of James chapter 4 verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. So it is a very strikingly mentioned by James, and to reinforce the teachings of our Lord. So I'm reading again verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for neither he will hate one and love the other, and or else he will hold the one and despise the other. And there the despise the other, or it is actually to be written as despise another. So it is not the same kind, choosing from one from the other, of the not of the same kind. So another is entirely a different one. Choosing between the earthly things, which will fade away and will pass away, and the second one is which are heavenly and which will abide forever, which cannot be shaken. And that is one. And the things which are going to pass away, very appealing to our eyes and our hearts. And also it is offered by the God of this age or the world, that is God of riches, it is the mammon. So Lord says, if we are children of God, and still serve the God of this age, though our claim outwardly is that we belong to the Lord, but if your interest and our hearts and our desires and lusts are all connected to the riches of this world and pursue them and strive after them, and that is worshipping the Mammon. So he said, you can only do one. But if we think that I can easily balance out the things, then many times that is not the case. It is difficult to draw the line. And we need to understand our inability, and whatever the Lord said knowingly, and he is the one who has made us, created us, and he understands the heart of a man. Accordingly, he has written in the scripture, and there is a great safety for all of us to follow his words. Verse 25. Therefore, I say unto you, take note, be not anxious for your soul or life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? So he says two things here. One, what you shall eat and drink, that is connected to the soulical life, or the life, which is in Greek, it is sousein, or soul. So across the New Testament, that is the word which is used. So that means it is within the body. And that is connected to the eating and drinking. That means the whatever our inner man, not the spiritual man, the soulical man, which has a desire to eat and drink, and he is talking about that life. And then the outer case is not the body which has got concern for covering itself. So the food and the drink is connected to the soulical person. And the raiment is connected to the outer body, the physical body outside. So those two things in comparatively, the Lord has explained in the following verses. So the food and the drink, the desire comes from the soulical person or the life. Then he would like to have particular things or the desires. Then he's talking about that. And the body which covers outside, and it has a desire to have how it can be covered properly and looks good. And those are both the things he said, be not anxious. And if our anxious is what we are going to eat and how we are going to cover ourselves, and he said, be not anxious for that. But at the same time, when you say, it doesn't mean that you don't think at all. But that 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter explains nicely that. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. So it means that whatever you have the necessities to feed the body, and also to put on the necessities of the raiment to put on the body, to cover your body, and both those cares you cast upon the Lord, and he will care for us, and he will do it. So there are two things. One, and when the man is not yet born, in the mother's womb, he has wonderfully and fearfully created the body. So we read that in book of Psalms 139, 14 to 16. And in those verses, we see how skillfully and wonderfully, fearfully, God has made the body of a man. So since he has made that body, and he also assumes the responsibility of feeding that body, whatever it needs to grow and sustain. And secondly, at the soulical life, when he breathed into the man, the breath of into the nostrils of a man, the breath of life, one the soulical life and also the spiritual life, that also came from God. So he also knows the need of that soulical life also. So the body was created by him, the soulical life was given by him. So origin of these two things is our God, the master of this body and this life. And accordingly, he will also care for these two things, how to feed and how it should grow properly, and also how it should be covered properly, so that the vessel may be properly used for the glory and in the service of the Lord. And he is a wonderful, not only the creator and the sustainer of the whole universe. And the power of his word continues to feed us and brings us into that kind of a position where our cares are all cast upon him. So book of Psalms chapter 55 verse 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee, and he shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. And this is a psalm written by David when he was driven out of the Jerusalem from by his very son. And his earlier minister Ahithophel and others are also deserted him. And while he was there, and the way he has taken care by, do you remember we have studied in 2 Samuel chapter a person called Ittai, and who has brought food for David and his other people. And in every time where there is a need and the protection required, both the things were taken care by God in that wilderness. And in that situation, he wrote this psalm. And then he says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. So it is not something saying out of the knowledge, but with an experience that David has penned this psalm. Then we also see in Luke chapter 12 verse 22 and 23. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, that you shall eat, what you shall eat, neither for the body what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than the raiment. So when you consider the value of the life and the body, they are much more precious than the food and the raiment. So you don't be anxious and cast all your burden upon the Lord. And I come back to Matthew 6 verse 26. Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? And when we see this verse, now he is talking about, or the, he is dealing the matter about eating food, food and the drink. So those two things are necessary for our sustenance of this life. And in when a man is pursuing his entire life only to make those things meet, and that is not the case. Actually, the man is striving. He wants to have more and more than what he reads, and that is the why there is always unrest. And also there is a contention in the heart because of not containment is exercised. Then he gave the example of the fowls of the air. And they do not sow, and they do not gather for storage for the future, but God feedeth them every season. So here in North America in the winter, we don't see any greeneries. Everything is covered with snow. But the birds are still there. And in the, as soon as the spring comes in, setting in, the little grass is showing up a green, and they all come in flock, and everywhere you can see the different colors, red, blue, and black birds. And they are all fed nicely by the Lord. But in the winter, so some fly away, and some maybe, I don't know what they eat, but they are still surviving. We don't see any fall or dead because of hunger. And they don't have a place, and they don't store any food, but still they are surviving. That means the creator makes the provision for everyone in his, the ones which are created by his skillful hands, made the wonderful provision for each one of us. And that is what he wanted us to notice. So do not be anxious. So when we continue to have that anxiety, concern, and how these things will move, that shows us, and we do not know how to cast our burden on the Lord. And secondly, we do not really exercise faith in the word, what he has given to us. And we, all of us have a lot of knowledge. and many things we know in the scripture. But as far as application of that word in our life is varies in degrees in each one of us. And I'm not saying that we don't exercise at all, but it is there is a lot of difference. And when we talk to a person, and we can really understand how much they do really exercise and the promises are truly in the Word of God, and how much do they take really and apply in their life and continually enjoy the peace of God. So when we talk to the believers, oftentimes we hear and how they are concerned about the particular need or the situation or the necessity, or more than sometimes more than necessity they talk about. So that speaks of a shallow inner life working. And that is not a good situation in a spiritual life to be continued for a long time. And though in the beginning that may be all of us, but we need to make progress in understanding the principles of God and how He is sufficient in every situation and how His promises can be made really fulfilled in our life. And those need and very difficult situations are allowed by God, whereby we have the opportunity to taste His faithfulness and the loving kindness in our life. And instead of coming and staying there in the situation, looking unto the Lord, we throw away all those opportunities by manipulating the situation, by maneuvering the different situations, and also seeking the help primarily towards the man. Then the Lord's name is not glorified and we are not strengthened in our faith life. Those simple steps needed to be followed one after the other, where God continues to be honored through our life, our faith is increased, stabilized, and we will live as if the word of God is working and living in us. And then in verse 26, I am reading again. Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into the barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? So when creating the fowls in the Genesis chapter 1, and since they have the solical life, and God ordered, and He said, and He has created them. And that is how, but when it, in the creation of man, He has created the man in a wonderful way, and He breathed the breath of that very life. But He did not do that in the case of fowls. So in the creation order, the difference between the false creation and the man's creation is different. And it is much more precious in the sight of God. And that He wants to drive that point to our attention. And verse 27. Which of you by taking thought, or which of you by being anxious, can add one cubit unto his lifespan? So some of your versions might have, you might notice that is stature. Stature means people may think it is a height, but that is not. So the word in Greek is different, and it is called helikia. It is called age or lifespan, or it is the time of life. That is what it means. So by thinking, if anybody is considering that if I eat good food or drink good nicely, I can add more time to my life. That is not possible, he says. And everything is decided by the God. There is a time for the birth, there is a time for the death. And both are in the hands of the Lord. And He has the keys of the life, and also He has the keys of the Hades. So everyone, according to His timetable, he calls all of them back. And that is, He is the owner of that, everybody's life. And accordingly, whatever the time span He has kept, He will continue to exercise that right upon all of us. So we, by doing anything, whatever you do, and when we do the exercises, eating good food or nutritious food, these are all to maintain the health. But nobody can actually add anything, even one span. One span is 1 foot and a half. So when you compare to the 70, 80 years of life, so the 1.5 foot, that is the meaning. That means very little. You cannot add even that. In book of Job, chapter 9, verse 25, now my days are swifter than a post. They flee away and they see no good. So he is aware of the number of days he is going to live and how they are moving also, that he is aware. So it doesn't mean that everybody has got unlimited amount of number of days available to live. And those are the people, they were conscious of the time, and within that time span, they need to complete the goal, what the Lord has kept for them, and how they are moving out very swiftly. But when you see the book of Acts chapter 13, verse 25, and as John fulfilled his course, he said, verse 25, and as John fulfilled his course, he said, whom think you that I am? I am not he, but behold, there cometh one after me, whose shoes of his feet I am not worthy to loose. So in case of John the Baptist, we know that he was put in the prison and his head was beheaded. But he was expecting God, the Lord will come and release him out. But the Lord did not do that. So there, that is the time that the God has appointed for him to be gone, and he did go. So that it was fulfilled in the time of John. Then book of 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. So he didn't say that now I want to live forevermore. He said, my time of the departure is at hand. So I am ready to go. I have run my race and completed my course. So it is something like a man running in a race in a stadium. And the circle circumference is measured, and it is kept steady, and it is not going to be changed for any man other than what Lord decided for that each person. And we need to run that course and complete that course and go. So even if you have whatever your desires and making any provision, that is not going to add any extra lifespan for you or for us. But what is necessities will need to keep us in healthy position to serve the interest of our living God, who has purchased us and who has made our bodies as his living temples, and we need to keep it properly. Verse 28, Matthew 6:28. And why take ye thought for raiment? So then the food is over, then he is coming to the raiment. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. So this, he talks about the outer case covering, that is our clothing for our physical bodies. There he compared our inner needs in giving the example of the falls. And here our outer case needs, he is talking about the lilies. Lilies are the wild flowers, and which they grow, they come up in the time spring rain, and they grow, they beautifully blossom, and after a while they dry up, and it will be put into the furnace. It is gone. And so those are all also beautifully decorated. When compared to the dressing, even the Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed. His array of the dressing, he was a great king. And also he has a great, he was not like his father. And if you read Song of Solomon and also in the Kings, we see how his dining table, what was the food, and how his thrones and everything was in very pomp and gaiety and very luxurious. And in all that, the Lord is comparing. So in his times that he was the greatest and very wealthy, rich, God has granted him all these things. and he really had manifested that in all his glory. But even that glory of Solomon, when it compared to the lilies, which are really taken, came upon their bone, and he says that they have much more beauty. I'm reading it again. I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. So when compared to the glory of the Solomon, what he has covered and appeared in glory is inferior to the beauty which was manifested or which was covered by God to those lilies. That is very amazing. So the covering is required for to cover our shame. And that is the only the humans which are covering their naked bodies. When God created man, we have seen recently in book of Genesis chapter 2 and also 3, and they did not have the covering. And even they don't know that they were shameful or they were naked. Only when they ate the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they realized that they were naked. Before that, though their eyes were opened, but they did not know that they were naked. That means there was a different cover of on their bodies. So as we read in book of Romans chapter 3, there is no difference. Everybody has sinned and come short of glory of God. So the glory of God in which God created the man in his likeness and image, when that is gone, and the nakedness is visible, and they felt ashamed to come before the Lord. And ever since, God has made the coats of skins to cover their nakedness and shame, and the man has started finding different ways to cover themselves in different ways, using different materials. But even when you are really put on with a glorious array, like King Solomon, that is not equal to what God really has made, put on in creation for the man. So that is not comparable. So now you see that he spoke about the example of the lily. Lily in the beginning, it will come up like a stem, and it is a very small thing. But within it, God has kept something, and it will come out. And the beauty, and it will come nicely, with a nice splendor and very beautiful. That is all, it is coming out because of the inside, the deeper work, whatever is God has put in. And the Lord brings it out. And it shows very beautifully when compared to the whatever the glory man puts on by covering artificially. So what the comparative thing man needed to be interested in is, how my inward man, the spiritual man, the spirit of our inward man should continue to influence my soulical emotions and intelligence and the willpower, and which those three elements should bring the subjection of my physical senses so that the sanctification work may continue. I will be part of that first resurrection group of people or the raptured people, so that my outer covering, what I am trying to cover my shame, need not to have any covering when God changes my body into his glorious body. So that is the process which has happened in the lilies. Lilies, it is not an outside covering made by any man to beautify that one. The beauty has come from the deeper work of that lily seed. As the word of God, by the power of the Spirit of God, works in an inner man's life, as it continues to change us and brings us into the more and more sanctified life, the beauty of God's image can be seen, arrayed. And that is the near actual covering which you feel now confident to stand before the Lord without any nakedness. And as long as that work is not there, not going on, then the man have undue concern about what they put on and how what they wear. And that is what is the natural person.
But as a, in a person where that inward transformation continues to be there, and he is looking for that glorious body's appearance, God, who has the power to subdue all things, can change our wild bodies into his glorious bodies. And when that glorious body appears, it is like a lily, and it is decorated from within, and it is the work of the God's hand, and God's providence has made and kept it in that manner. Then any of that transformation, that transformation is not comparable to the any glories of the man's covering. And that should be the way that the Lord is asking us. So as long as our spirit can subdue our soulical emotions and the intelligence and our heart and mind and the power of the man and bring everything under the subjection and allows the work of the sanctification, and the man continues to the things of the beauties of the inward man, then our apparel will continue to change. And it weaves inside. And it will come upon the day when we see the Lord. And as long as we don't allow that the clothing or the raiment in glory is not allowing us to be woven by our inward man, then when the Lord comes, we have nothing to wear and to show us ourselves before him. That will be very sad day. So as long as whatever we wanted, what we eat or what we cover outweighs our inward man, and not knowing how to cast these things upon the Lord, and faith, exercised faith to receive the things of the necessities of this life, then we are in trouble. Verse 30, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, and which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? So he has just said, O ye of little faith. And the book of Matthew, chapter 13, verse 43, then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. So those who raised in the first resurrection and the group of people who are raptured even before the tribulation, and also another group of people who are raptured to meet the Lord in the midair, and they shall shine, as the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of the Father. And the glory and the light, apparel of the light which is lost, and that will be put on them. Now, whatever we are trying to decorate ourselves, cover ourselves with the beautiful, expensive things, and this weak frame, but that time the beauty, the way the lilies are going to work, show up, and that will be the way it will come up then. Book of Daniel, chapter 12. Verse 3, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. So that is what it is going to be, the real transformation of our life. See, now if our inner man, who is quickened, our inner spirit, who was dead in spirit in sins and trespasses, quickened by the power of the Spirit of God, and as we open the door of our inner spirit to be communicated by the Spirit of God, and our inward man strengthens day by day in our faith life and continues to take hold of the Word of God and its promises by in its Word, and exercise that faith in our life, and the Lord blesses us, and the sanctification progresses, and the believer and the spiritual man inwardly continues to grow, then the burdens of this earthly life will continue to diminish. And there is a great blessing in it. And I come back to Matthew 6, verse 31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? So he began the food and the drink and clothing, and he is ending with So therefore, take no thought or be not anxious for what you drink or what you clothe. So the Lord, when God created man, so he has kept in him the desire of the eternity. So in every man. So that is why if now these days some percentage of the people are coming out that I live in this world and I die, I don't know later on. But that is very far and few. But large number of the people have a fear of death because they don't know what will happen after they leave this world. And they have a concern for that. And why everybody has got concern, what happens after this life, and every religion come out with different theories, though they are not true. But in the scripture, it is like this. Book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verse 11. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. That is about the Lord Creator. Also he hath set the world in thy heart. That is in the heart of a man. Or it is said, he has set the eternity in their heart. So in the creation itself, God has set the things of the eternity in the heart of a man. So that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. But even if that is kept in the heart of a man, but the time is not sufficient to find out what God has kept for us. So as we read in this verse in Matthew 6:31, so it is a man, what God has kept for us in relation to the eternity. Our lives are to be connected to there. But when we are trying to connect it to the things of the earth here, the current life, that means whatever God has kept us, kept the elements which are in our heart, we are not giving any importance to that. That means our life, what in the fulfillment of God's plan, is not given much serious thought, and that will be lost for us. So the remainder of the verses we will see tomorrow.